Let's turn in the word of the Lord to Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 7. If you haven't been with us of late, that's one of the things that I've been trying to do is look at various portions of God's word during this month that pertain to Thanksgiving, and this is one of those places where we find words to that end, dealing with a call to thankful prayer. We turn to Philippians chapter 4, and we'll read verses 4 to 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So far from the reading of God's word, let's pray that God's word may be a blessing to us tonight as it's ministered to us. Our Heavenly Father, we are grateful for the portion of your word. We're thankful that, as we just sang, that you are near. And we just heard again about how you are at hand. And we take consolation in that. Also glad that we may be able to realize that you are in the midst of all things that we face. And we rejoice in that. And we pray as we have this word ministered to us tonight that it will help us in our walk with you and in our dealings with each other and also even as we live with ourselves as we know your peace that passes all understanding. Accept our prayers, we bring them before you, dear Father, asking that your Spirit may be so at work in the name and for the cause of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we find ourselves down and out physically, we are grateful for remedies that modern medicine affords us. Even with all the side effects and costs associated with medicines today and the like, we can still be glad that we can be equipped with relievers of pain, relievers from allergies, relievers from maladies. I was reminded, we were talking about this even at lunch today, I was reminded about, been probably 27 years ago, I had a tumor removed, and it was in my neck, and the doctor would tell me, he would show me photos of what it would be like if you couldn't get that tumor out of your neck, and in some places where that wasn't able to be done, and they said those tumors could get as large as volleyballs. So I am one, as many of you are too, so grateful for the things that people are able to do to give remedy to us when otherwise we might not have had that remedy as in days gone by. But the Lord has also provided us remedy of various kinds in Scripture. Those which encourage our souls, that allow us to be confirmed in His mercies, strengthen us for the Christian fight of faith to which He's called us. And one of the ways that He provides such spiritual remedy is in the area of prayer brought before the Lord. And we want to think a little bit about that remedy tonight as we hear Paul call us to prayer for remedy in anxious times, as we pray with a thankful spirit, and as we receive in turn the peace of God. So let's consider, first of all, prayer as a remedy for us in anxious times. Actually, it's better for us from a biblical perspective to call those times trying times, but our passage speaks about the fact that we are not to be anxious in everything, in anything, because we find ourselves doing that very thing, finding ourselves becoming anxious. It would seem that those times that are tempting from Satan's perspective and trying from God's perspective are anxious times from our perspectives. God doesn't make them anxious times. We do that ourselves, and we can do a very good job of it, so to speak. We're the ones that make them anxious times. We're the ones that make them so, and we're called to stop making them so. Trying times, yes. Anxious times, such as not to be our calling. Our anxious times can come, though, in all sorts of shapes and sizes. For the Philippians, it's evident that from the word that they were facing times of suffering, because Paul's aware of that. He's writing them. Even the fact that we look at this passage and he's calling us to joy, the need for that is no doubt that there is so much that would cause anxiety. The Philippians were being anxious. Verse 29 of chapter 1 already mentions that it's been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, that you shouldn't only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake, engaged in the same conflict that you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. He knows that not only is he suffering, but so are they, and they're suffering for the sake of Christ. Paul's suffering in the jail in which he finds himself, and yet he speaks, as we're so familiar, with such a joyous spirit in the predicament in which he finds himself that the letter is called the letter of joy. Now, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to uncover what it is that makes us anxious in this life. We can be anxious because of a busy lifestyle. We can be anxious because of a sickness that we have to endure, or a loved one has had to endure. We can be anxious because of things that are chronic, that are persistent, that always seem to be in front of us and don't ever seem to go away. We can be anxious in the loss of a loved one. We can be anxious because our future has taken on an especially unknown element or change. We can be anxious because of a new job or a move in the making, or because we don't know what the future is holding for us. We can be anxious because we're afraid. We're afraid of failing. We're afraid because we have failed. We're afraid of people. We're afraid of what people might think of us. We're afraid of how we don't live up to people's expectations. We are afraid when we feel like we're not living up to our own expectations. We can be anxious about things that may never happen, or things that are bound to happen. We can be anxious by borrowing trouble. We can be anxious for what's right before us, or we can be anxious for things that won't happen to us for years, if ever. We can be anxious because we don't have enough money, or we think we will not have enough money. Why are we told to put anxiety away? Well, when we're anxious, it has its impact on three relationships that we always have. Our relationship with God, our relationship with others, and our relationship with our very selves. It isn't coincidence that the passage speaks to us here about rejoicing in the Lord always, repeats it, and then calls us to put away our anxiety. Rejoicing speaks here especially to our call to praise. And we've seen that before, but we can reiterate it, that we might not find ourselves rejoicing for the circumstance in which we find ourselves, but we can still rejoice in the Lord who is sovereign over the circumstance. The reason that joy, and consider that in the sense of praise, why that can be a hallmark of the Christian life always, is because God is always there. You could even say, in that sense, the Lord's at hand. The Lord's in the midst. The Lord is near. He's there in life and in death. Either earlier, Paul is is rejoicing, of course, in Philippians 1 and the best of both worlds that he knows, because he says to live is Christ and to die is gain. And that's his joy. Paul gets it, you see. You know, he says, if I get to keep on living, I get to serve the Lord and his people. And I get to make, in God's grace, a difference in the world. And he can dwell then on what the Lord has done for him in present blessings and past favors and in the assurances that are yet to come. But if he were to die, he also knows that the Lord's going to be with him then. In fact, he's going to be with the Lord. Now, does Paul want to be in prison? Who would? But he knows these things have happened, as he would say, for the sake of the gospel. And he's seen the Lord's hand in what he's facing. So if anxiety were to rule the day for him, then he wouldn't see that. And he would base any praise that he would give on whether things are going well or whether things are going bad. And in the process, he would be lesser and more anxious for it. Stability is not in the circumstance, which can cause anxiety, because things go up and down and all around and change in everything we see. The stability and the removal of anxiety in that sense is found in the stability that God is there in all those things. And the apostle rejoices in that, and so are we to do the same. And on top of that, he knows, does Paul, how anxiety would impact his treatment of others all around him. All around. He says, let your reasonableness be evident to all, or your gentleness. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is at hand. The Lord is near. See, here again, if anxiety rules your life, if that's what runs you instead of the Lord, not only would the apostle be self-centered without a desire to worship, he'd be self-absorbed with no concern or love or blessing or character or virtue to share with other people. The word that's used here for reasonableness or gentleness is used often within Scripture to speak about a gentle spirit. You know, that kind of a spirit that recognizes the Lord's in the midst. All is well with my soul. Where the man of peace with God, from God, is able to share as he deals with others with a gentle spirit, because he remembers who's in control. The man of peace with God and from God is at peace with the world around him, in the sense that he's not going to be useless to his fellow man or woman because of the fact that he's a nervous wreck all the time. He knows that God has his times in his hands. He knows that God is near. And that measure of contentment puts him in a ready position to be helpful and kind and gentle to the world that's around him. I mean, how could the apostle be of any help to the Philippians? He writes four chapters, after all. Of course, it wasn't chapters for him when he wrote it. Those divisions came later. But that's besides the point. He writes basically a four-chapter letter to them. How can you do that if you're so self-absorbed and so self-centered that you cannot take your eyes off yourself because you're so caught up in what is happening to you, good or bad? And how would he have written that if he had to do it based on the situation he found himself in prison? He's not worried about it. He's not consumed by himself. He's thinking about others because he knows of the closeness of the Lord. He knows about the Lord's Lord being at hand. Paul was not going to let his circumstance dictate his relationship to his fellow man. And that's the calling for us all. In what we want to call anxious times, but what we should be considering as trying times. Besides which, Paul has exhorted us to remember that as the Lord is at hand or the Lord is near, if nothing else, the apostle's reminding us of what he has just spoken about and what he will. The coming of the Lord should help us also to see that the trying times are but a relatively short time in comparison with the coming of the Lord and what that will provide for us eternally. Trying times are not forever. Not when the Lord has things in store for us that cause us to and move us to a more hopeful outlook than to think that trying times are forever. Well, what also helps to transfer our perspective from anxious times to trying times, from anxiety to peace, is the prayers we pray and the way we pray them. That's the calling that we have here as well, don't we? We're called to rejoice in the Lord. Our gentleness is to be known to everyone. The Lord's at hand. And then we get into the fact that we're not to be anxious about anything, but in everything, what we're supposed to do is by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let our requests be made known to God. Certainly, there's a call here to bring all things to the Lord in prayer. Whatever might cause us to be anxious needs to be addressed before the Lord. Nothing that we might consider too small or too big, because if it's causing us anxiety, it's big enough. And those cares are to be cast upon the Lord. But along with this, there is this calling for us to keep a thankful spirit laced in our prayers. The very fact that we're praying is always a good sign, because Scripture tells us that's indicative that we're not giving up on the Lord. We're not capitulating to the problems that we may be facing, or the challenges, or the sufferings, or the low moments, or the sorrows. But in praying for those things that threaten to take the joy out of life for us and impact negatively the way that we relate to people around us, the apostle reminds us that our prayers require a thankful spirit, just like our giving does. See, it's one thing for us to lay out to the Lord our problems and casting our cares upon Him because He cares for us. But it's essential for the remedy that prayer brings to an anxious heart to keep a grateful spirit as well. To consider those past favors, those present blessings, those future assurances. To keep those in mind as we pray and bring them into utterance before the throne of grace. It may sound quaint, but the idea of counting our blessings and naming them one by one is certainly a good spiritual therapeutic exercise. One of the things, some of you boys and girls who are here who go to Providence Christian Academy, you might as well think about this already. Some of you get a head start on it, okay, for Tuesday. So look for it. Take advantage when you can get ahead of the game of everybody else, unless you tell your friends when you get to school tomorrow. But one of the things that I'm hoping you do with you, it's something, I think we did a little bit of that last year too, but one of the things that I'm hoping to do with you at the chapel on Tuesday is to ask each and every one of you to share with me one matter, just one, for which you are thankful. And what we're going to do in chapel is we are going to pray for every single one of those things. Now, I probably could ask you for 2 or 4 or 5 or 10, and you could come up with them. We don't have that much time for chapel. And I do have to say a few words besides. But you can look forward to that, and you think a little bit about what you are going to convey to me, what you're going to pass on to me. And I think that's going to be a great time. I'm going to share one too. And we get to spend that time together praying to the Lord with thanksgiving about all those different things. And isn't that remarkable if you think about it? Because I'm very confident that every one of these boys and girls that are here, no matter what their age, at their tender age, every one of them is going to be able to come up with something and even more. And you think about that in terms of how that should magnify as we get older, as far as reasons for thanks. Giving thanks in prayer during trying times helps to strengthen us in the trying times. The older we get, we just get that much more resource. We have just that much more experience. We just have that many more testimonies as to how the Lord's hand in our lives has shown up. How God has been a remarkable God to us. We can mention our relationship with the Father through Christ. We can meditate on the wonders of Christ's love for us. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit enables us to know faith in the first place. Everyone in Christ can name how the Lord has seen them through. How they've been richly blessed by the Lord, whose grace abounds in their lives. Every day, it's right in front of you as you take up your daily bread, served to you and brought to you in providential ways. And every day, you can pray for and know the assurance of sins pardoned by the blood of Christ. You think about the many ways that you've been able to be supplied by the Lord in your family needs, or how you were supported within the family of faith, or where your very families have been a blessing to you, or by God's providence, friends during difficult moments, and how God used those people that way for you. Every Christian has a Thanksgiving story to tell. And if we were to take just but a few chapters of that story to the throne of grace, they would find, you would find, I would find, that even part of the way that the Lord is supporting us in troubled times and trying times is by the very remembrances of how God has supported us by His grace in the past. We live in an age where history is easily forgotten. It's only the only thing that matters is today. We don't want to be those kind of people who set aside the history of God's grace. Because in that history, as well as in the promises He gives us for the future, the Lord provides for us strength and courage to continue to remain strong in the faith that the Lord has called us to exercise. And we call that strength and protection the peace of God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. The anxiety is ours. The peace is of God. The peace of God is the antithesis to the anxiety of self. And the reason that it passes all understanding is because it's a peace that only the infinitely wise and wonderful God, by His mercies, can provide, and that mere human assessment would miss. Because that peace is that which provides stability in otherwise unstable times. Most people would wonder as to how we can keep the faith, or stay unmoved, or continue to praise God, or live gently before the world with the belief that everything will be all right. A lot of people like to say that. Everything's going to be okay. But who knows that like the Christian does? Who knows that like the person who's in Christ Jesus? It takes the wonderful God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ to impress that upon our hearts, which is why faith in Christ Jesus is so important for our own personal peace. We read that it guards our hearts and minds. Guards protect the city. They keep out the wrong. They keep out the adversary. They keep out that which is detrimental to the welfare of the city. The peace of God keeps out the wrong kind of thoughts, keeps out the wrong kind of perspectives, keeps out the wrong kind of reactions, reactions that are not true or wholesome or of good report, that aren't honorable and just and pure and lovely and commendable or excellent or worthy of praise. In our panics, in the sudden changes that occur, when we've been kind of dislodged from the rails in which we're used to running, it's not hard in our sin to doubt that things will not turn out in the end. The temptation is to remain discouraged and to live as if God doesn't have our times in His hands, or that He isn't near, and then to treat other people like that's the way we feel life is. But when the peace of God is upon us, as we pray faithfully and exhaustively and with a thankful spirit, then we can find our hearts and minds guarded with hope instead of run over with hopelessness. Then our joy returns and the sorrows fade. And obedience is the hallmark of our lives, not disobedience. We're ready to serve instead of being paralyzed with fear. We're bold instead of cowardly, useful and joyous rather than useless and bitter. We're ready to serve the Savior and renewed to do that in a manner that's worthy of the gospel. So what makes you anxious lately? Or what makes you anxious perpetually? Get to prayer. I have to do that too. Get to prayer and bring all those trying moments to the Lord's feet, as it were. But don't do it without a grateful spirit. Don't do it without a grateful spirit, because there is, as we've always said, and as those boys and girls are going to remind me on Tuesday too, always reason for thanks. Always. And then we're going to find three relationships in our lives enhanced: our praise to God, our love for our fellow man, and our own hearts and minds set at rest in the peace of God, who guards them as only He can. When we find ourselves under and are reminded again of the fatherly connection that we have with God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you find that you cannot sleep, start thankfully counting your blessings instead of sheep. And remember that the keeper of His people in Christ Jesus is never sleeping, but always caring, always keeping, always near, always never leaving, never forsaking. That's the remedy for an anxious heart that the apostle provides us in thankful prayer. We'd be wise to make use of it. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that it would be the peace of God and not our anxiety that's guarding our hearts and minds. Amen.